think, last Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday, we had not just a good morning, good evening too. And then it was so amazing. While I was preparing this message, God's definition. What is the definition of our being on the earth? And then while I was observing what happened on Friday and Saturday, it was amazing. It was amazing for me. Friday and Saturday, we have Uncle Phil's Diner. And then the people are who you know who you are. But you played so different roles. And then, oh my God, oh, the one of the characters that was sticking in my mind is Ding Dong. Amazing. I tried to read of it. I tried to be serious about definition. But Ding Dong, Ding Dong, it's come out. It's amazing. People play their role so well. They become different person in playing. And those people who really work hard, they can become the person in the play. And I would like to have a moment to recognize those people who play the different persons in the show. I would like to lift it, have you to stand up and then give you the recognition here. Yeah. They're amazing. And we have Elvis Presley behind the tech table too. First time I heard him, I thought he said he was playing, people are playing the CD or that the music is tape. But he was singing. We have Elvis. And it's amazing. And if you miss this 2 days amazing experience in this congregation, wait for next event, and you don't miss it next time. And Friday and Saturday, we've almost like put up the same show, but so different. Friday program was so different from the Saturdays. And when I was hearing and to my calendar, it was so booked. And I'm wondering whether I'm going to come in for Friday and Saturday. People will keep asking me, are you coming for Friday or Saturday? I said, I do not know. So Thursday, when they had a dress up rehearsal, and then I decided to come by and to observe which one I should go for, and then or whatever. This is a making process. I would like to observe it. And then through the observation, it was kind of amazing for me. And then I astonished by the people who act out in a positive way, by the way. And so I decided to take many pictures, as many as I can, to let all the people in the cyberspace know that this amazing opportunities exist in this place. And one of the person who took advantage on this cyberspace passive aggressive advertisements was my hubby. And Friday and Saturday, both he had to work. And through the seeing the pictures and I posted up on Facebook, he decided to take a day off on Friday by giving his work days to other persons. And Saturday, he decided to grab another hours for it because the fairness needed to be there. So he took off his day on Friday and worked 16 hours Saturday. So Friday he's off 16 hours because he doesn't want to miss it. The point I'm trying to make in here, don't miss it out next time when opportunity comes. It is awesome. It was so great. And while I was in the show, I was amazed by the people's play. Ding Dong was not Dan anymore. Dan was a ding-dong in the show. And Steve was Elvis in the show. And they were so different. And God's definition for us is different from other labels we are getting too. God cast you and me to play special role according to God's definition throughout our earthly life. Today's the day that we're going to talk about God's definition of our being on earth. When I moved from Korea to United States, July 25th, 12 o'clock, LAX, I become Korean. Before that day, nobody called me Korean. Soon I landed that day on this land, the States, and they called me, oh, you are Korean. I never learned how to be a Korean before. When people call me Korean, I don't know how to play that role. Later, when as my time living in the United States is growing, growing one by one, I assimilated into the culture in the United States. And I went to college and graduate school. I got ordained in early 20th. And then soon I become an ordained minister. They call me woman. I never learned how to be a woman. I was born into woman. But especially when I got into the ordained ministry, they labeled me with woman. You are a woman pastor. Since I was ordained in early 20th, they call me, you're a young woman, Korean pastor. And it's, oh my Lord, that three different definition of a label I needed to play out. I didn't know how to be Korean clergy woman, young woman. So at my first church, I asked a step parish, which is a human resource department of the church, to give me a month of break, educational break, so I can go back to school to learn how to be an Asian woman pastor. Because since I was educated in this state, I never learned Asian woman theology when I was in seminary. I learned a feminist theology, and I learned a womanist theology. I learned a Western theology, how to read the book, interpret the Bible, and interpret God's word in my life. But I never learned how to read and interpret what's going on around me through the lens of Asian woman theology. I never learned. So I did. Whenever people label me with new things, I try to make sure that I know who I am, because people are keep telling me all of that. That means that people want to learn about it. Like a Methodist. Many people, beginning of the Methodism, and many people made fun of the Methodist people because they believe in God systematically, methodically. And then out of blue, there's a people called it, oh, you are the bunch of Methodists. That's how we got that name. John Wesley, like Apostle Paul, he did not get that word negatively, but he took it as a positive label to show the characteristic of the Methodist Christian. So you and I are Methodist Christian for believing God systematically and methodically. So after I become the ministers of the church, still people call me, you are the pastor. I never learned how to be a pastor in school. And I am a little bit feel bad about having my first church having my first church as a minister. I mean, me as a minister student, my first church. Because I never learned how to be a pastor. But I was a newborn baby pastor who puking around all over the places and making all the mistakes. But the congregation was so gracious and caring for me to equip me how to be a pastor. Every church I went, they helped me how to be a pastor effectively. After 15 years later, I landed it in Chicago here. Still, after 15 years later from my first ordination, still people call me young Korean woman pastor. And I guess I'm a young forever. That is a blessing, I guess. I never get old in any place. You are too young. Everybody label me. And regardless, I'm enjoying who I am. And then later on, I keep thinking myself, then who am I? Have you been labeled by someone, partial of you, or the mislabeled by others? Have you experienced that? Every day, by looking at other person, we just label all the time. We label and people label you. Have you been mislabeled, misunderstood because of your outlook sometimes? Today is a day we're going to redefine ourselves through the will in a plan of God, like Apostle Paul. If you are able, please open your Bible, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. We're going to be reading it. And first, we're going to read the verse 1 and 2. We're going to read the Bible, this scripture, responsibly, which means I'm going to read the first passage and you're going to read the following one. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 1 and 2. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. This is a typical way of writing in Jewish writing. They introduce themselves, who is the writer and who will be the recipients of the letter. And then after that, they give thanks to God, thanks to other people. This is a typical Jewish writing format. Here, Paul, he identified himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. During the reading of the book of Ephesians, you're going to hear a lot about will of God, plan of God, and purpose of God. And because that is anchor of the Christian community. As I review what we did in the last week, the whole the theme of the book of Ephesians is about unity, harmony, bring all people together, bring the diversity into one, which is Christ Jesus. That is the main purpose of this writing, to harmonize the congregation, harmonize the church. And this book is written for you and me who live in a Schomburg community. So I encourage you and me to write Schombergians, the letters to the Schombergians, like you and me here, the person who lives in here. So chapter 1, we are writing right now, Schombergian chapter 1. Paul, right here, up front, he identified himself as apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Who are you when you write a letter? How do you define yourself? People back then, he was condemned by the many people because he identified himself as apostle. Apostles are the followers of Jesus Christ, which means the disciples of Jesus Christ, who spend time with Jesus, length of the time, and then after that they become a teacher. Teacher means apostles. And then he was not the 12 disciples. He was not the one of the 70 disciples, but it's through the conversion, he become a disciple. He learned. He took all the lessons of Jesus Christ by heart and practiced. And then after he practiced and lived up to the lessons, he decided to share because he cannot be silent about this amazing grace that he's experienced. So the apostleship was given by God through Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit. Other people said, no, you are not apostles. You have never been a disciple. But he boldly claimed that he is an apostle because he loved to share. He loved to teach other people what kind of faith he was having. And then after he defined himself through the will of God, he defined the people who will be receiving this letter. The people in Ephesus, that he called that the saints. Saints does not mean that all the people in Ephesus. Saints mean it's like you and me who are sanctified by God, cleansed by God, and following God's teaching through Jesus Christ. You and I are saints. Heaven is not just for the dead people, but heaven is so. So he defined that this letter is going to be received by the people in Ephesus, people in Schomburg, in here, in grace and peace. And it is a definition. And then later on, and then after that, he positioned the people who is a recipient, who is a sender, and give thanks to God. And then after that, verse 3 and 4. Let me read the 3 and you will be reading them for verse 4. Verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. This one, verse 3 and 4. I know, it's a wrong sentence. Just stop there, a period is there before in love. Here, Paul defines you and me as a blessed one, as the chosen one. Probably you are getting different labels from different people. Probably within a day, you might be labeled 3-4 different labels by other people. But God is defining you and me, or God is labeling you and me as a blessed one, as a chosen one. That's our identity according to God's definition. Since we talked about a definition in here, I realized that one definition I learned from God in a ministry was this. I decided to become an ordained minister because I have a strong desire to love and work with children. At the time, my definition of children is young children. Since I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was a third grade, 9 years old and 9 and 8 years old, I have a strong heart for those age group. And then before my ordination, right after college, I decided to work on those age groups. And I created a curriculum for 3 years. In the fourth year, I talked to the Billy Graham organization and worked with them to create a crusade in LA County. I had 5,000 young children under sixth grade, and we had 5,000. My friend and I wrote the musical for the play and to help the young people to understand the message of God, which is the good news of Jesus Christ. And the LA Sheriff's Department and school district and the whole county was involving in this program. I was so thrilled into it. I put my life into this to this age group. And also, in order to be more effective, I decided to get into the ordination ministry so I can have more people to serve, to be in this young age group ministry. But when I got into the ordination ministry, God's definition of children was different. Not just young children, but children of God of all age, all race. And then that was a shock for me, to be honest. Because I was so focused on the one particular age group, that was a very eye-opening moment. But in order to be effective, we needed to be the ministers to all age group. That was a God's definition in ministry. Nowadays, I say that I am called into ministry to the all people of God, all children of God. That's why at the end of the service, I always say that all children of God, not just the older one, not just younger one, but everyone. We say yes to the Lord, all children of God, God's people, God's children. We are saying that. God's definition in your life, how different is it compared to your definition? Here, God said that you and I are blessed one. You and I are the chosen one. How can we be the chosen one? How can we be the blessed one? Verse 5 and 6 talks about it, first segment of the how questions. Verse 5, let me read it for you. Verse 5, where is it? Oh my God, I lost it. Here. In love, he predestines us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. Here, through adoption, you and I become a blessed one. Through adoption, you and I become a chosen one. Before you and I were born, God already planned it out that you're going to be adopted to God's kingdom, God's family. You are being chosen. You are being blessed. So regardless of other people, what other people say about you, you are blessed one. You are the chosen one, especially for the 21st century, for your family, for your workplace, for your school. You are the chosen one to give God's glory. That is the place where we are. You and I are being adopted to be blessed and to be chosen. And the second aspect of how we can be chosen, how we can be blessed, it comes from verse 7 and 8. Let me read verse 7. In him we have a redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And verse 13 and 14. Verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Here, how we become a chosen one and blessed one? How can we realize how we are the chosen and blessed one? Through redemption, sealed by the Holy Promise. Redemption means bought from the slavery. Yet we were sinners. God loves us so much. That is called grace. You and I are being redeemed by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Through this redemption, you and I are boldly able to claim that we are chosen one. We are blessed one. What is the name of this church? Our Redeemers we are worshiping. You and I are being redeemed. We are worshiping these Redeemers whose name is Jesus Christ. We are claiming this name again and again in our midst, whatever we do. Because we are the blessed one. We are the chosen one. Unless we are blessed and chosen, we cannot be redeemed and do church together as a blessed one and chosen one. You and I are being redeemed through Jesus Christ, sealed by the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then the third aspect, and in summary, verse 9 and 10. Let's read it at verse 9 and 10. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he purposed in Christ. Summary is this. Through Christ, you and I become a chosen one. Through Christ, you and I become a chosen one and blessed one. You and I become part of God's redeeming work through Christ. This week, probably you will face many plans and challenges and difficulties. You have no control over sometimes, right? What is your plan? Where is God in that plan? When you go to school, where is your God in your chemistry class, your biology class, or this math class, or music class? When you go to work, where is God in your workplace? Yes, we mentioned about state and a separation of a religion and a state, but still, you are godly chosen, blessed person. You cannot let go of that identity. You need to be who you are. But where is God in your place, at home? I'm challenging you in this morning to step up, chin up, say to yourself, I am blessed. I am chosen through Christ, through adoption, through redemption. Let it be so every single step we're going to be taking this week. Amen.